There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
But now it's time to turn our attention to my favorite part of the week, where we discuss technology and gadgets.
Drive Live talks technology.
Are you being flippant when you say that my favourite part of the week is to discuss technology and gadgets? Or do you mean that, NLT?
I think I mean it.
Oh, good.
I think I mean it, yeah.
Okay.
I think I mean it.
Thanks.
Because I know what you're both talking about now, which is great.
Okay.
And sometimes our guest brings us food.
Well, you're ahead of Nick and me if you think you know what we're talking about, because we don't know what we're talking about. I'm looking at him now thinking, what is going to happen? You know?
Well, we do have a guest today. It is Nick Rago from Tech Radar. And yeah, Nick, I think I do. Yeah, I like it. Oh, sorry, Nick. Wrong one.
We've got a guest with no mic. Standards are slipping around here.
Oh, he was dreadful last week. I don't know what you're complaining about.
No, I like coming in with you guys. And you guys are like a favorite, like the highlight of my week.
Yeah,
sure. See?
It is. Even though I don't have food today because my oven is once again going through a phase. It's sort of in a rebel phase against me. So, but yes, I promise I will get you food the next time.
Rage against the baking machine.
So you're going away, you know. Just remind us where you're going.
I'm going on vacation. Mean again?
Well, you seem to spend a lot of time away. Not that we've not got the message. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you know, in order to keep this healthy dynamic the way it is, I need to have regular breaks from you guys. So this is what I do. So I'm going on vacation with my friend Natasha to Thailand from Friday for a week.
Amazing.
So it's going to be really good.
Whereabouts?
We're doing 4 nights in Phuket and 2 nights in Bangkok. And when we're in Bangkok, actually, we're going to this restaurant called Gagan, which is a fantastic. The chef there is amazing. And it's a 26-course chef's tasting menu.
26 courses?
Yeah, I can't wait.
I mean, I like eating, but that sounds excessive.
It's just amazing.
The trick, do you know what the trick is? Apparently the trick to eating meals like that, the big tasting things, is it's all about
swallowing.
Rehydration.
Okay.
But swallowing helps, of course, but rehydration between courses, water.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
But I think if you drink a lot of water, you're just going to end up filling up faster and you won't eat everything.
That's
no, I mean, not a litre of water, but making sure that
like
you...
Like sips or something.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, I shall put it to the test and report back accordingly.
Well, speaking of putting things to the test, last week we were talking about the fact that you had the Bolt. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes' time. But first of all, we're going to start with an electric vehicle of a different kind. We're going to have a look at this week's nominee for Worst Invention Ever.
Rubbish Kickstarters.
Oh, is it harsh to say worst invention ever? That's probably unfair.
I don't think it's unfair, but I think it's a pretty crap invention. I mean, the fact that they're trying to do this on Kickstarter is terrible. I've just noticed what's worse is that it has a name, like it actually has a name, like a person's name, and it's called Elena, the electric car.
Yeah.
E for Elena.
Yeah, E for Elena. And this is basically an electric car that they're trying to crowdsource through Indiegogo, all right? They are looking for a lot of money. They have raised hardly anything so far, but we're going to come back to the figures in a little bit. But yeah, this is this team that's put up a video of this, all these 3D renders and everything of this car, and they're saying, okay, this is the best car that we can ever make. And get this, they're promising 100% charge time in 6 minutes. What?
Yeah.
What?
Elon Musk is really missing a trick.
Yeah,
isn't
clearly
it?
They've got something that Elon Musk doesn't. I mean, they have Indiegogo, but yeah, apart from that, they probably have something else that Elon Musk doesn't.
I had a look at this today, Nick, and as usual, you know, you're expecting to hear the funny adverts. There's nothing. There's no talking.
Yeah. No.
It's just shots of a car. I mean,
yeah.
There's a weird piece of chilled out techno.
Yeah,
there's a little choppy video of the car. To be honest, it's quite a nice looking vehicle.
Yeah, it looks nice. It looks nice. The interiors look very futuristic.
Yeah.
I have to comment, it's only a 4-seater vehicle, which is really weird.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it looks as a proof of concept quite nice. But the fact that they're using Indiegogo as a sort of platform to try and make this happen is a little bit bonkers.
Yeah, and it's oddly written as well. You mentioned that the car's called Elena, and the way this is written, this is kind of, I don't know what person this is in even. Elena's an electric SUV who wants to be revolutionary. I'm not sure that Elena does. With its torque optimization turbine.
Okay.
So that's the technology. I don't know quite what that means. I get what torque is, I get optimization, and I know what a turbine is, but I'm not sure how you combine all of those into an electric vehicle that will charge in 6 minutes and sell more than Tesla. How much has it made?
So they're looking for $150,000 to make this happen. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm guessing they aren't looking to manufacture the car without mine. This is more like they want to build some sort of working prototype and then take that to a bigger manufacturer to produce commercially. So looking for $150,000 for this particular campaign. They have raised $1,000 so far. But here's the icing on the cake. From one backer.
Yeah.
So someone out there who clearly has a lot of money in their hand has just given them $1,000. Just like that. Incredible.
I don't understand what they're trying to achieve. Obviously raise the money, and you've explained maybe then go and take this prototype. But who are they aiming this at? Who would be the likely person to invest in this?
I think these are people who, you know, see the future of electric cars and want to own this kind of tech, but don't necessarily want to give their money to the likes of Tesla. They want something that's been, developed a little bit more affordable for people to climb into. And I think this is kind of where they want to, you know, this is the kind of people they're targeting with the campaign. I don't know whether it'll be successful, judging by the figures. They have 6 days left to make this happen. But it's an interesting proof of concept, but I mean, they'll never get this off the ground in a million years.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Slick sort of video, but in terms of any meaningful content, yeah, there's nothing there that would
nothing
entice you.
There. Yeah.
So Nick, are you going to part with any cash?
Definitely not. No, I will keep my cash for vacation spending.
Tim, would you be tempted by Elena?
I'd get a model, like a little scale model.
How much would you pay for a model, Elena?
12 dirhams.
Okay.
Well, what's funny, if you pledge $200, you get that mini model.
So
$200.
Therein lies the answer. No.
Yeah.
$200 for a scale model of Elena. No.
Yeah. No.
I'd want a full size Elena for $200 because I'm not so sure it's going to work.
Yeah. One blow and a little keel over, I think.
Drive Live talks technology.
We are talking tech. Our guest is Nick Rago from Tech Radar, and he's a bit demob happy, seeing as he's going away tomorrow. One more day of work.
Struggling through it.
Yeah, you seem like you're struggling through it. But Nick, we had you on the program last week, and you were talking about the Bolt, and we had a spin, and it was kind of, you'd only had it for one day, I think.
Well, I had it for the weekend. I had literally just got it a few hours before coming to the studio, so I just kind of gotten used to it and how it felt, and I had it all the way up till Sunday when I gave it back. And you know, driving the Chevrolet Bolt EV is an interesting experience because the car is a lot smaller than, say, like the Tesla that I was driving before. So it's very compact, it's very light, just kind of doing corners and things like that. You really feel like you're fly off the tracks, because if there's a strong gust of wind, you feel like you're going to blow away with it. It's super lightweight, which is, you know, kind of a nice thing to have on a car. It accelerates really quickly as well. It had all of, like, the bells and whistles. I could plug in my phone and have Android Auto on the car. So it was a really good car to drive. But the one takeaway point from driving this car that I want to talk about is how the charging infrastructure still isn't here. And the reason I'm saying that is because I live fairly close to a charging station, and I basically had about 130, 140 kilometers of charge left on the car. And I knew I was going to be going to Sharjah the next day, which is about 60 kilometers from where I was each way. So I said, okay, I definitely want to have it charged up as much as I can before I go. So I rock up to the charger, to the green charger. I get my cable, I get the card out and everything to, you know, do the whole thing. And then the security guard tells me, oh, I'm sorry, but we have a problem with our charging network, which is going to be fixed next week.
Wow.
Okay, so, yeah. Not
ideal.
Not ideal at all. Yeah, so it doesn't work. So it's moments like this that make me realize that, you know, we're still very much away from the whole charging infrastructure being in more convenient areas. Now, I could just go and drive to a mall and spend like 3 hours over there and you know, then come back to my car. But then if I parked it at the charging station that's close to my house, then I could just walk home, do what I was doing, you know, do dinner, everything, and walk back to my car and get on with, you know, everything. So, you know, there are still a couple of these things with charging stations and the locations that I think need to be ironed out. We need to see more stations around that, you know, in residential areas, not just at petrol stations. There could be a fast charger that was, I think, 20 minutes away from me that I could park the car. I think would charge in about an hour and a half, 2 hours max. But what am I going to do with a petrol station for 2 hours?
Mm.
You know,
that's
so
true.
There are these kind of hurdles that I think need to be, figured out. And then once that's done and we have a proper charging network in place, which of course is coming in the next, you know, as months progress, only then charging will be a lot more convenient. The car is fantastic, but the charging thing still kind of grinds my gears.
Okay, so put that to one side for a second. You mentioned Android Auto there. Mm-hmm. What is it like integrating all your tech with the car. How much of an experience boost is that?
Well, what's really convenient about Android Auto is because Android Auto sits on my phone, so it has all of my connections to my podcasts, to my maps, to my contacts. All I have to do on an Android Auto-equipped car, like the car that I drive, the Tida that I've modified, or a car like the Chevrolet Bolt EV, is you just plug in your phone via a USB cable, the car detects you've got Android Auto running on your phone, and then gives you Google Maps, gives you your contacts, your podcasts, everything on the car's display, right, which is super easy and super convenient. Because the car itself doesn't have any navigation, instead of having navigation, you just literally plug in your phone, you have it there full screen, and away you go.
Mm. Does anybody use navigation anymore, by the way?
Yeah,
because it was a selling point with my car, and I had a problem with the navigation screen. It wasn't working. It wouldn't link to the satellite wherever it was. So I took it back. It was still under warranty. I had it replaced, and I thought, oh, it's great. And then I realized Google Maps is better. I've never used the two
issues I've always had with in-car navigation. So something that's built into the car is that they're either obviously out of date, or B, they're like super slow to navigate and pinch to zoom. You don't have that. You have to press the minus and plus signs to zoom out. You can't necessarily find an obscure place that you can definitely find on Google Maps. Goes back to the fact it's not updated. So, like you said, people just use their phones and use Google Maps. So if you have it on your car, then that's even better.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? You become very friendly with Mrs. Google when she talks to you. You can just Bluetooth everything. It's
Or you ignore her and go round and round like last time you came to pick me up.
Yeah, maybe we'll just gloss over that. But Mrs. Elliot is now very, very friendly with Mrs. Google, I may tell you, and can get everywhere, which is a great bonus, because we don't fight on the phone now when she's lost.
What's kind of heartbreaking is when you're following directions, you miss your exit, and then you hear her say, in 6 kilometres, make a U-turn. And you're thinking,
Yeah, that may or may not have happened last week on the way to NLTs.
Emirates through and I will conquer you.
Twice.
Yeah, okay.
I knew better.
Just briefly on the Bolt as well, Nick, we don't know the final price point, do we, here in
the
region?
We don't, no.
But obviously it's a very different kind of electric vehicle, different EV to the likes of Tesla. It's going to be, I mean, it's pitched as a fun car.
It is, yeah.
Probably a little bit, maybe a younger audience, a slightly more affordable vehicle.
I mean, it's definitely very sporty, very friendly looking. It does feel like, you know, Chevrolet is going to be targeting the younger audience, people who, you know, who want the kind of hip and happening cars. They don't necessarily want the fastest thing on the planet. They want something that looks cool. They can. What I found really cool about this car is that I'm 6'2", and I could take the seat all the way back and still have plenty of leg room, so that I couldn't even touch the accelerator. I had to actually pull my seat forward so I could start driving it properly, which is pretty cool.
That's not bad at all.
Good if you want to sleep as well.
What have you been doing in your car, Tim?
Not as a driver.
No, if you stop. No, I don't mean that. I mean, if you stop by the side of the road for a rest.
A power nap.
A power nap. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we like that.
If you have any questions for Nick, he is here for until 5 o'clock. So if you have any questions for him, text us for 001 or via the free messaging app. Now, Nick, Google I.O. was obviously last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm saying this like I know what it is. I had to ask Tim what Google I.O. was.
You're reading my email. That's important.
I had no idea what it was, but... Yeah. Just briefly talk us through that. I guess it's a showcase of what Google are developing and working on.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a showcase of all things Google. There are a number of announcements. There's one particular announcement I'm going to leave last because I know you've got an audio clip for that. So they've got a couple of new features. Gmail is getting something called Smart Compose, where it sort of uses AI and your past emails to predict what you're going to be saying to people in an email. So you can literally just be typing and it may autocomplete a sentence. You can tab through and it'll finish it for you. Google Maps...
Can we just come back to that, though, Nick? Because I saw it, and I think it was Taco Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So it caught my eye, because I love tacos. And it's food-related. But it's interesting, because you think of all the information that Google aggregates about a person, and it probably can autocomplete scarily well. I think my autocompletes would revolve around food and cheese.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I sort of use this feature on my mobile app, where as soon as you get an email, at the bottom you'll see three really short responses. You can tap that and hit send, and it automatically sends the response for you. So this is sort of like an extension of that. And the beauty of this is because, you know, Google kind of has been looking at what you've been typing, what the content of the message is, it then suggests something based on, you know, the content of the email. So you're more likely to get a proper match rather than just something randomly suggested to you by Google AI. So it looks very, very cool.
It does look cool, but it's quite worrying, isn't it?
It's not worrying at all. They have all the information needed on you anyway. This is like nothing. This is like tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
You're not reassured, I can tell.
No, I'm not.
She's moving swiftly along. All right. Google Maps, as I was saying, this is very cool. Now, this is something I regularly face when I'm traveling, where I'm looking at Google Maps and it loses the connection and I can't quite decide, you know, which way I'm supposed to go. This is really cool. You can literally hold your phone up and what will happen is Google Maps will then turn your camera on, and using Google Lens will sort of superimpose the directions on where you're facing. So you'll be able to say, okay, I'm facing the Starbucks over here. I need to turn around and go in that direction and turn left there, so you can actually genuinely know which direction you're supposed to be going, which is very, very cool. The Android P, which is the next version of Android, the public beta is now available, so you can go onto Google and download it to your phone. There are a number of supported phones such as Google Pixel, Nokia, Xiaomi, Sony, and the Essential phone. So if you are interested looking on what are the latest features of Android P, you can download that to your phone now. And obviously, the feature I've saved for last, which is my favorite one, it's so cool, is Google Assistant is now going to get a little bit more, you know, even smarter than it currently is, with something called Google Duplex, where you can basically tell Google to do something like book an appointment at a salon, book a table reservation for you at a restaurant, and it will do it all for you in the background and then send you a confirmation when it's done. This is crazy because they demonstrated this, and it's creepy but fascinating at the same time. And this was an example where they had Google call up a hairdresser to try and book an appointment for a user.
The fact that you can use a Google Assistant, I mean, this was previewed. This is not available yet.
Yeah, not yet.
But if you haven't seen this, just bear this in mind. This is a machine calling up a salon to make an appointment for you.
How can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a woman's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
So that was on stage, and this is real. You know, this is real. They haven't made that up, and I'm sure maybe that might have been the 500th phone call they made, or it might have been the first one. We don't know that part, but I mean, it worked.
Imagine if Chris McCarty was on the other end of the line with his broad Aberdonian. I think Google would struggle with that. Her accent there was very clear, and for the purposes of that, it worked really well. She was fairly articulate on the other end of the phone, so I suppose that helps. Nonetheless, it is impressive, but you can see where it might fail.
It was some of the ums and ahs that were added in.
That's what really kind of makes you wonder, because they've programmed the AI to pause like that and add these kind of things that humans would say to throw people off the scent that this is not actually a person, it's AI. It's crazy.
I'm a bit knocked back by it, I've got to say, but you can different accents on there are going to cause different problems.
I forgot to send you two links. The other link that they did, the other demo, is where they had Google Assistant call up a Chinese restaurant and do a restaurant reservation, and the person at the other end had a slightly stronger accent, but Google was able to understand what they were saying and fulfill the reservation, which was pretty crazy.
And also, you know, if you think about what they're doing now in terms of the Echo, they're changing it so it recognises children's voices, which are higher pitched usually. So I think that they are moving quite... It's just crazy. I mean, they couldn't make an appointment for me because I'd be like, well, can I have this, but can I have it without this, and do you do it like this? So
it would have taken a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. But, well... You know, baby steps, NLT. Do you know the other thing? It lends itself well to practical joking, doesn't it? So you get your mate's phone and you order 12 pizzas, or you just tell Google to do it and you don't even need to touch the phone.
Yeah, Bart Simpson's brilliant. Out of a job,
exactly.
Isn't he?
Oh, dear. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
It's really, really impressive tech, though. So that's something that we will find normal in a year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Google hasn't said when they're rolling out Duplex to Google Assistant, but just the fact that this is something they're working on is mind-blowing. So let's hope we see it soon and we get our hands on it.
Another story you've been looking at, Nick, is this is to do with smart luggage, and I wasn't really particularly aware of smart luggage until I was in the airport a couple of days ago. We're on the way back from Athens, and it did say there were a few signs in the airport saying, if you have smart luggage, please notify your airline.
Yes.
And I just thought the smart luggage had GPS in it, you know, in case your bag was stolen, you could trace it. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, there is. First of all, I don't know who ordered smart luggage to be invented, because I think it's the dumbest thing you've ever invented.
Was it not on Kickstarter? Rubbish Kickstarter?
Well, this is funny. There have been plenty on Kickstarter, but they've all failed. So smart luggage is essentially luggage with a battery pack that has a GPS sensor in it as well, so you can locate where your bag is. You can charge devices from it, etc. So it's, you know, it seems like a good idea, and some of them are also motorized, so they follow you all over the place. But the problem with smart luggage is that it's a battery at the end of the day, and you know, a battery of the size, it, you know, could pose a hazard to aircrafts when you put it into the cargo bay. So basically, airlines have said, like, okay, you need to make sure you can disconnect this battery, and there's certain things you have to, you know, make sure that they follow safety regulations, things like that. So essentially what's happened is that one of the largest makers of smart luggage has essentially gone out of business, because people have stopped buying or trying to return all these suitcases because they can't use them on planes anymore, because this particular manufacturer, Blue Smart Incorporated, to remove the battery from their suitcase involves unscrewing, I think, 6 different screws and then going into it and removing a couple of cables, and then only you can do that. Now, if you're at an airport and you've just been commanded to do that, there's no way you can do that on the fly. So what are you going to do with your suitcase? You literally can't board with your suitcase.
It's a very good point, yeah. Somebody didn't think that through.
And usually on the way back from somewhere as well, your clothes are a bit heavier, the sand in the towel, you know, all of that stuff. So the thought of even opening it and trying to do a repack is just beyond.
It's just,
beyond, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
the
terrible.
Repack is dreadful.
The sand in the towel.
Do you know what I mean, though? Your clothes are always heavier when they're dirty.
I do. You got an extra pair of flip-flops.
Yeah, you've got a souvenir
hard life,
that you'll
Tim.
Never need.
Oh. It's a hard life when you jet to Athens for the weekend, just saying, you know, bring a bit of sand with you.
Ugh, I didn't go anywhere near a beach, Nick, says the man off to Thailand.
This is true. I'll wear my suitcase when I'm coming back, see how much sand I'm bringing with me.
Oh, but the repack. I hate doing a repack. It's dreadful.
You just sit in your suitcase and cram everything in. That's just literally how I repack.
Okay. Final story. Well, no, actually, Spotify could be coming here soon. Not our final story.
Yes. This is really cool. A lot of people love Spotify and have subscriptions back home, but over here it doesn't seem to work that well without doing all these loops and things like that. So this is pretty cool. Basically, Spotify has put two job positions on their website for a senior editor for Middle East and Africa and for a technical account manager. Now, responsibilities of these people will basically be obviously ensure that the services is working properly in the region, but also to keep an eye on local musical content, which means Spotify is going to be curating local artists from the region, which is pretty cool, because you want to promote artists from the region and kind of get their music heard out there for Spotify subscribers. So if this is gonna, you know, come through, hopefully by the end of this year, Spotify will make a formal announcement and you'll actually get to use the service here in the UAE, which is very, very exciting.
It is exciting. I know some people aren't fans of subscription or streaming sort of sites, not looking at anyone in particular, Tim, to the left of me. But I think if it's something you're familiar with, Spotify, and you've used it in the past, it's a welcome addition.
It is, definitely.
Say.
Yeah, I mean, it joins the likes of services like Apple Music, Angami, Samsung Q, Amazon Music. So it's good to see a new contender coming into the region. Very, very cool.
And just finally, Facebook. This is interesting. You don't have Facebook, Tim, but if you did, would the fact that you could have it ad-free make you more likely to use it, do you think?
Yes, probably, but tell me more.
Would you pay for that privilege?
Would I pay for that privilege? I pay for a newspaper subscription because I believe in it. So, yeah, probably.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so this is what Facebook is doing. They are currently trialing, potentially thinking of trialing a ad-free version of Facebook where you could pay for a subscription to have a completely ad-free experience, which is pretty interesting. Now, it, you know, doesn't go into details whether it would then also eliminate those annoying, you know, recommended Facebook groups and Facebook pages. I get the weirdest recommendations. I'm not going to call it on air what I get recommended, but I get some really weird ones.
Why am I not surprised?
But no. I would definitely pay not to see ads and these terrible recommendations in my Facebook feed, that's for sure.
I think I would do the same. I was looking at something today and I just thought, why are these adverts invading my face? It's really awful. So I wouldn't I wouldn't mind paying for that either.
The worst.
Invading my face.
Yeah, they were just all over the screen.
They're all up in her Facebook, Tim.
Yeah. It wasn't actually Facebook. It was a different site, but just the same thing. I thought, why are you doing it?
We live in an era where we're bombarded by ads, whether it's on TV, on mobile phones, Instagram, banner ads, everywhere. It's just how websites and services want to target their products and make money. So this is sadly the world we live in now.
But I think this, subscribing, paying for it, and not having to look at the adverts, I'm all for that,
yeah,
I think.
I would climb on board.
Yes, definitely. Nick Rago, thank you very much. That's all we've got time for. Yes, have a nice time on holiday.
Thank
you,
guys.
We won't see you next week on the programme, but don't pack your smart suitcase.
All right, I'll try not to.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.